You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
But this one's for Pat!
It's been a couple days, but we are back in the saddle. You know what time it is. You're Locked On Broncos. Luke and I, we got to drop some knowledge. I'm Chad Jensen, the publisher of MileHighHuddle.com. With me, as always, is my co-host Luke Polglaze, a semi-pro football coach and NFL draft analyst, among many other things. Luke, what's good, my friend? Did you have a good weekend?
I did. Went down to try and see the cherry blossoms in downtown D.C., the famous tidal basin cherry blossoms, but that out-of-season snow we got this past week pretty much killed most of them on the bud, so I guess that's your metaphor for winter in Washington, D.C.
There you have it. Well, we are committed to bringing you a daily podcast that focuses entirely on your Denver Broncos at least 5 days a week, and we're not here to just report the news. We're going to do a deep dive on your favorite team, and what really helps us out is when you retweet the episodes on Twitter, when you share them on Facebook, and help us grow this thing. Follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Broncos. Just take a second and flip open your phone, at Locked On Broncos. Give us a follow. And then check out the work we're doing over at MileHighHuddle.com. We have killer premium Broncos content. And again, it's designed for the Broncoholics out there, the sick maniacs. Our premium members get 10% off on tickets, 10% off on Broncos team merchandise through Fanatics. And don't miss what Luke's doing over at Inside the Pylon. They just launched the Inside the Pylon draft guide. For information on that, you're going to want to go to their website, which I believe is what, Luke, for the draft guide?
Yep, it is itpdraftguide.com.
I should have that memorized by now. We got to put it in the rundown. But and then, of course, the home of our show is Audio Boom. We love Audio Boom. But make sure you're also subscribing on iTunes, and if you're an Android user, Stitcher, because free agency, we're still in that zone a little bit. We're going to have the draft coming, and you're not going to want to miss a single episode. Now, real quick, today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/LOBroncos. Over 180,000 different titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And with your free trial, you can listen to a variety, multitude of bestsellers, including The Girl on the Train, The Hobbit. You get the drift. Now, to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/LOBroncos. Again, that's audibletrial.com/LOBroncos for your free audiobook.
So late last week, Kayvon Webster signed with the Los Angeles Rams, which I know we talked about last week in the kind of departures section for the team. But now linebacker Dakota Watson has left for another California team, the San Francisco 49ers. It's somewhat a case of, you know, Watson, we hardly knew you. Mm-hmm. The linebacker played just 1 year in Denver, but he's cashing in on a 3-year, $6 million deal. Thoughts on what his departure will mean for the team?
Well, I think it's unfortunate in the sense that, as we talked a little bit about last week, you know, the Broncos are losing out on their special teams captain. You know, Kayvon's gone. David Bruton was gone a year ago. So now it's trying to figure out where the team goes for that presence, that guy that can not only lead in that capacity but follow that up with production on the field in the third phase. Dakota Watson could very well have been that guy. I mean, he was arguably the first or even second best special teams player last year. But the reality is, for a guy who was third and fourth on the depth chart as an outside linebacker, the idea that Elway would pay him anywhere close to, you know, 3 years, $6 million, it just wasn't going to happen. So, you know, you're happy for a guy like Watson, who's been a journeyman throughout his career, former seventh round pick out of Florida State. You're happy to see him cash in on a deal like that. But to me, Luke, what this smacks of is just more of John Lynch trying to ride the coattails, maybe a little bit of John Elway. And I don't know, by proximity, by, I don't know, osmosis, try and capture a little bit of that magic that Elway's been able to manufacture in his 6 years in the front office.
Well, I think what's interesting with Watson is he's this kind of case study in Denver, kind of looking for guys who can do more than one thing. And for much of his career, really coming into Denver, he was mostly played an off-ball linebacker.
Right.
You know, he was a guy who played some inside backer really kind of through his tenure in the NFL. And then Denver brings him in and says, all right, well, we want you on the edge. We want you at outside linebacker and rushing the passer, which was kind of really an unusual transition when he was signed. I think most of us, myself included, really thought he was going to figure into the mix inside linebacker to replace Danny Trevathan.
Yep.
So Denver brought him in. He played a completely different role here. And now he's off to San Francisco, where they're transitioning to a completely different defense in the 4-3. But now he's kind of established that versatility of playing inside, of playing outside. And I think that's going to be a really key signing for San Francisco, because they're going to want a guy who can play a lot of roles in that defense so they can kind of mix and match some looks. So I think this is a case where San Francisco really values his versatility and is saying, hey, we want you to come do a lot of different things for us. And I think that's kind of the situation here.
And I think that that's true in terms of what he brings as a football player, but I still can't get past the idea that John Lynch is, and not necessarily in, like, you know, some kind of negative copycat way, John Lynch is looking at the blueprint that John Elway has put in place in the front office in Denver, and in his own way is following on some of those themes. And I remember when we were doing our podcast this time last year, Luke, at our Huddle Up podcast, when Dakota Watson was signed, and all the way into camp, we were just projecting him as an off-ball linebacker. And then, you know, the depth charts start sorting themselves out. Guys get put here as opposed to over there. And pretty soon, he was one of the breakout studs of the preseason, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things, means very little, of course. But Dakota Watson, I mean, he had 4 or 5 sacks in the preseason, which, granted, he's going against second and third teamers and all that, but he definitely was a force, popped up on the Broncos' radar. And as we know, John Elway was interested. They did have talks in trying to get Dakota back, but what the Niners were able to offer there financially just made too much sense for Dakota to jump ship.
Absolutely. You can't blame a guy for chasing the money, especially in a business like the NFL. Chad, I know you've been out of town this weekend. I don't know if you caught what was kind of making the rounds. It's been pretty wild weekend with news that I don't think any of us really saw coming. Adam Schefter dropped a bomb on Friday, reporting that the Oakland Raiders have interest in acquiring the rights to recently retired Marshawn Lynch. Did you see this before you made it out of town, or is this your kind of first time seeing it?
No, I did see it, and it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, this is a guy who grew up in Oakland. The Raiders just lost out on their bell cow, Latavius Murray, signing with Minnesota. So you can see how the football stars could align for this to happen, but I think a lot of it would have to do with whether or not Marshawn Lynch is still in the football mode. You know, he's been off for, was it just this last season he was out, right? I mean, so you got to wonder where he's at, but if he wants to play football, man, that sounds like a match made in heaven, and bad news for a Broncos defense still trying to get their ducks in a row as a rushing unit.
Absolutely. And I mean, Marshawn Lynch, of course, he's a 5-time Pro Bowler, first team All Pro in 2012, got a ring at Denver's expense in 2013. And in my opinion, I think he's pretty close to being a serious Hall of Fame candidate. Personally, I love the guy. I think he's a fascinating personality. He's a lot of fun to watch. You know, he is a bit of a shy kind of retiring personality. Well, pardon the pun, retiring. You know, he kind of shuns the spotlight. So it's interesting to see when he does kind of come out of his shell.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, he grew up in Oakland. He's a Raiders fan. He went to Cal, big local kid. And now what's on Oakland's mind here? Obviously, they're trying to replace Murray, but you know, is it worth kind of gambling on this guy who's been retired for a year?
That's a good question. And again, I think if you're the Oakland front office, you really would have to get to the bottom of where Marshawn Lynch's heart is at right now. I mean, is he at a point in his life where he's still willing to play with a passion, take it seriously, approach it as a professional? That's the question. I mean, you look at his stats as a career rusher, he's definitely on the bubble of being Hall of Fame worthy. I mean, you take away his subpar 2009, 2010, which I think 10 he was injured for most of that year, if I recall right, but I could be wrong. He's accumulated 9,112 rushing yards. And if he could get over 10,000 with that Super Bowl ring and his personal accolades, he has a good shot. And maybe, you know, that could motivate him. But he's one of those guys, though, Luke, that, you know, it's hard to put a label on him. It's hard to figure out what a guy like him is going to do. He bucks all the trends. He's very punk rock in that way.
Yeah, we know how much he values loyalty. He's definitely a media phobe. He's always stayed very close to the vest. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how much of this could be a play to the fans. Because if there's anything the public loves, it's Marshawn Lynch. I don't know if you caught this before the Super Bowl. He paid a visit to, I believe it was Houston, Scotland. The less than famed city, and basically went around asking people in Scotland if they'd heard about the upcoming Super Bowl and what their thoughts were on NFL football. I mean, the guy is just a brilliant ambassador for football. He's a lot of fun to watch. He's just kind of one of those goofy guys that you just kind of have to shake your head and laugh at. So I think Oakland fans would react incredibly favorably to him signing with the team, or them acquiring his rights, rather. You know, I think there's definitely more at stake here than on the field presence, but it is kind of an unusual move for a guy like Reggie McKenzie and Jack Del Rio to make. You mm-hmm. just don't see this happen that often, where a team is reaching out to another team who has a retired player's rights and saying, hey, we know this guy is still technically under contract for you. What would it take for us to get those rights? And would this player be interested in coming back?
Right. Well, and, you know, you look at Oakland, another reason it could make sense for a guy like Marshawn Lynch is he's not stepping into a doormat franchise like Oakland was 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, the Raiders are back into the conversation of competing for the postseason each and every year, as long as Derek Carr is healthy, obviously. But, you know, seeing him behind that offensive line, I mean, I shudder to think what Marshawn Lynch could do. Now, granted, he's taken a year off of football. Who knows what kind of shape he's in that regard, where he's at mentally. It would be a phenomenal media story for him to make a triumphant return to the NFL, back to the very city in which he grew up to play, you know, what would amount to his final season or two as a pro. Makes a lot of sense. It's one of those things where who knows if it's true, but usually in these type of scenarios, especially once it gets to a guy like Schefter's desk, where there's smoke, there's fire.
Yeah, there's definitely fire of some sort, I think, going on here. And it makes sense for Oakland, too. I mean, their running back depth chart is a former cornerback, really a running back turned cornerback turned running back again in Tywan Jones, and then two rookies in DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard. So it makes sense for them to kind of be reaching out and exploring the possibility of bringing in a veteran running back. And I think the truth is kind of Denver's in that same situation too. They're kind of stuck with a lot of young guys on their roster. A guy in CJ Anderson who has never really shown that he can handle the workload. And it kind of begs the question, is Denver in the same boat? Should they consider finding a veteran running back as well to bring some experience to this locker room?
Man, you know, I think it's something that at some point they're looking, from what I've heard, and it makes sense that they are looking to add a running back this offseason. Now, should it be a veteran running back? I think if they were to add somebody, you know, you look at the big names out there like Adrian Peterson, who is yet to sign, Jamal Charles. The Broncos have two guys who fit kind of the bell cow mold that they can really hang their hats on, I think, with C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker in terms of making it a two-headed two-headed monster, if you will. What I think they need right now is someone who can be a change of pace. And you and I, we've talked about this before on the show, which makes it hard for me to see a guy like Adrian Peterson even making any sort of sense for the Broncos, especially considering his age and what he's probably out there asking for on the open market in terms of money. Jamal Charles, to me, is very interesting, although I don't know where he's at physically. And again, that would also depend on what kind of money he's asking for coming off of the last couple of years, 2-3 years, maybe 4 years, he's had season-ending injuries in at least two of them where he's finished the season on IR. But if you were to get a guy like Jamal Charles, man, and he still had a couple of good years of football left in those legs, I can only imagine what he could bring to this offense.
Absolutely, and I think it's kind of interesting to note that Denver did bring in a veteran running back halfway through last year in Justin Forsett, who actually has quite a few connections to Marshawn himself. You know, went to Cal as well, definitely played with the Seahawks as well. So there, it's kind of just interesting to connect the dots. Now, last year, Forsett was really, I think, more of a Gary Kubiak connection than anything with this current Denver team. But they know what he is. They know what he can bring. Honestly, I was very impressed with what he did last season in Denver. It wouldn't surprise me if he were to get another stint here.
It wouldn't surprise me either, but from what you've told me and Eric and Nick and all the draft guys out there that whose opinion I lean on tremendously, this is the year, if you want to draft a running back, this is one of the years to do it. And so it wouldn't surprise me if the Broncos go ahead and pass on bringing in at least a big name veteran through free agency and really focus on finding another difference maker in the draft. And yeah, you know, to fill out the depth chart, bring in a, you know, take a hard look at bringing back a guy like Justin Forsett, who, let's face it, I mean, he had that one game fumbling issues, but that one game, what was it, week 17 or was it week 16? I'm having a brain fart here, but he was very productive from a touch perspective, yards per touch. And so I think he does have a little gas left in the tank, and it's in a complimentary role. Justin Forsett, I think, would make a lot of sense to come back and give it one more try. But I think that'll do it for today. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at Locked On Broncos. You can find Luke in the Twitterverse at Luke Polglaze, myself at Chad N. Jensen. We do love hearing from you, so keep hitting us up. We'll try to address your questions and concerns on the show when we can. Check out the other killer podcasts on the network, Locked On NFL Draft, Locked On NFL, and don't forget to subscribe, y'all. For Luke, I'm Chad. We'll talk to you tomorrow.